But first, we're joined by local Congressman Glenn Thompson. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you guys.
Great to see you.
In the studio.
It's good to be seen.
And you kind of wandered in here while we were blabbing about sports, and I could just tell you were at the mic like, come on, I want to talk about Penn State. We'll give you 1 minute. Go
football,
ahead.
Football, wrestling, I'm all in. We can talk about either of those, yeah. You know, that's a little bit like I always say that, and maybe that's why I have enjoyed so much serving, you know, the citizens of, 18 counties now, third of landmass of Pennsylvania. Because, I'm obviously as a former Baltimore area player, football player, wrestler, I love contact sports. That's politics. It's teamwork, it's communications, it's a contact sport on occasion.
Yeah. I think sports probably prepares you well for
I think it does.
Life in general, but politics in particular.
And nothing probably prepared me better for being that number one speaker on the House floor for a number of days, and Coach Dick Rhodes throwing me out there on that mat and wrestling for him.
Yeah, it is interesting because we talk about leadership and... You know, I think a lack of it in many ways in this country. And I really do think we just had an event with the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club, and then we'll get off of Penn State sports here. But I really think when we talk about supporting those guys in particular, but sports in general, I think sometimes people are like, well... Really, all the important things that are out there, and we're going to spend money on sports. And my counter to that, and especially with like what the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club has going right now, or that Penn State program, is it's not an investment just in wrestling. Yeah, it's cool, and championship wrestling is awesome to have and watch. But what those guys really are doing, and when you look at the way... In particular, that coaching staff, Cale Sanderson, Casey Cunningham, Cody Sanderson, go about their business. It is preparing these guys to be the leaders of tomorrow, to help young people have a proper direction through faith, through hard work, through all of the American ideals that we think of. And I think we need to understand that it's not really just a wrestling program or a football program that you're trying to support. It really is about building for a future where we have more people that understand what it takes to be a leader and what it is to be a productive, contributing member of society. And I just think that's to me, it's a really big deal, and it's why you should feel good if you're supporting those types of programs, but all the way down to the high school. I think it's important.
I think it is too. I agree 100%. You think about it. I know my own personal experience in high school. Being involved in three different sports. You learn all those things, right? You learn not just what we call it's sort of like the traditional academics. It's not just the hard skills, it's the soft skills. It's showing up. It is commitment. It is working through huge challenges. Starting out on the field, shaking hands. You go on the mat. You give it your best, and you shake hands in the end, and there's a lot of lessons that, in fact, we could do a little better in politics with that as well, because it seems like we, with these elections, we're not shaking hands really well. I tell people this is politics. It's not personal. And I'm very thankful to the experiences I learned under Coach Stoker on the football field and Coach Rhodes on the wrestling mat. We're all a culmination of our life experiences. And those sports, I love football and I loved wrestling. And I was so walked away, I was mourning when I was done, with those games. But and those matches, but meets. But I carried away with me life lessons that, to this day, that it just... has been meaningful. It helped to shape that and other life experiences that I've had.
All right, I've got a boatload of questions. We only have a half an hour because then we have another guest coming on. Has anybody ever done a survey of Congress, members of Congress who are former athletes? Anybody ever done a survey like that?
No.
Somebody should do that.
Not that I know of. I've got some good friends, Jimmy Jordan and others I know, or you know, come out of that wrestling stock.
Yeah.
But I, you know, overall, I'm not. I don't think there ever has been.
Should be. That would be interesting to see. Now, the last time we had you on, I believe it was the first week of January, and it was just you and me. And I was getting over COVID. You were on the phone. You were coughing your way through that interview.
Yeah. I was probably beginning on COVID and didn't know it at the time.
Yeah. But you've had other health issues. Could you give us an update, please?
Sure. Yeah. Last November, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And, you know, that's a kick in the stomach, right? It is. It's not something you expect. And so I always encourage men to, you know, you're getting that physical. Make sure you ask the doc about doing a PSA test. It's just a blood work test, and it's, you know, it's amazing. And for some reason, my doc had skipped that the previous year. And so, but they wound up doing one. As I mentioned earlier, we were talking off air, I'm a bit of an overachiever. 4 is normal. Mine was 171, you know. And so I did 4 months of chemotherapy. Had to do it. I could have done it locally here because we had great docs and treatment centers. I could have done it. People were suggesting I go to MD Anderson in Texas and a Mayo Clinic in Minnesota and John Hopkins in Baltimore, all these different places. And the bottom line is we only had a margin of one in terms of majority-minority. And if I'd have missed votes, it would really change for the nation the outcome.
Yep.
Maybe there's some folks out there who wish I would have missed votes. I don't know. But I didn't do it, you know. And so I did. Went to Georgetown. God was good. Connected me with a great medical oncologist. She had spent decades in the military, Dr. Nancy Dawson, one of the best in the nation on prostate cancer. And so she put me through 4 months of chemotherapy. I like to say I'd sooner been providing health care versus when because I worked 28 years in health care, some with folks who were experiencing cancer. And so I made a better care provider than a patient. But I was compliant, did everything. It was a pretty rough 6 months, but I just say God is good. I never missed a vote. Never missed a vote. And even throughout that whole course, I continue this day to be the number one speaker in the House floor, to be a voice for my constituents back home. And now, quite frankly, my that treatment obviously ended the very end of April. My strength and endurance is back. I'm told, anyways, it came back 9 to 12 months ahead of time. Mm-hmm. And my PSA is for the first time in my life, somebody could call me normal. Because it's normal's 4, I'm at 2.2. So, you know, God is good. I appreciate it. Like I said, I had a great care team, but also had a great prayer team. Not just locally here at home throughout Center County, but because of my leadership as being the first Pennsylvanian in 170 years to chair the House Agriculture Committee, I had small rural churches praying for me. All over the country, with the farmers and ranchers, families I've met over the past couple of years, I'm just very appreciative.
I mean, I can't remember names, but I think I've seen situations in Congress where some ill member is literally rolled into the room.
That would be in the Senate.
Okay. Yeah. You didn't come anything close to that, did you?
No. Although I will say my walk from the Cannon House office building to the Capitol was challenging at times during that 4 months. I mean, it was, you get winded. Your strength and endurance is just zapped with this chemotherapy, these chemicals. It's an interesting process when you're sitting there in the infusion room and these very dedicated nurses come in and they got double gowns on and double masks and goggles, and they got a bag that they're carrying, a bag that says hazard warning, hazardous material, and what do they do with it?
Yeah.
They put it in your arm.
There you go. Yeah,
they put it in your arm. But you know what? The science obviously works. I'm very thankful for that. And it will continue to improve and evolve. And I was very fortunate. There were some challenging days, but I got through each and every one of them. And like I said, speaking on the House floor every day, and I was a bit white knuckled, hanging on at times to that lectern and the well of the house. So
you're out of the woods. Everything's fine.
Yeah, well, the PSA is showing that. Absolutely. I'll go back and, yeah, things are really good. I'm just very, very appreciative.
All right.
Couple of kind of open-ended questions, since you do have the medical field background. How are we doing right now? Obviously, you had a good experience here recently, but nationally and in Pennsylvania, how are we doing on the healthcare front?
Yeah.
What are some things that you'd like to see improved in terms of government involvement, or maybe government getting out of some things? What's your assessment right now of where we're at on the healthcare?
I think what works best is public-private partnerships, right? A little bit of government at times, and sometimes we don't need government at all, obviously, and that's great. That's the way. That's usually what works best. Government tends to add a new dimension of a disease. It's called bureaucracy into whatever's happening. It tends to corrupt at times. But there are some great examples of public-private partnerships. You know, we have the medical clinic here in the center region, which that nonprofit, really proud of them. You know, they've and we helped a little bit, and then the community stepped up, and you know, and it's a clinic that provides great access to care. Rural medical clinics around the country that provide health care based on a sliding scale. Everybody pays something, but it's based on your ability. That's something I've really led as a champion in the country on. You know, I've having a district of 18 counties and all rural communities, all rural counties for the most part. It's one third of the landmass. I see where those play such an important role. Telemedicine, which is really, I have to tell you the irony, that it shows you God's got a sense of humor. You know, I was maybe the last guy my age to have an email address. I remember being in a national board meeting and they passed a list around of, you know, they were all excited because we had this new thing called email. And they said, everybody put your email address down. And so I wrote, none at this time. And somebody said, well, that's a crazy domain. How do you sign up for that? I said, no, you don't get it. I don't have one of those. Well, today I'm the one that broke new ground in terms of access to telehealth and telemedicine. And I did that under President Obama. It was called the STEP Act. Really focused on the 1% of the nation that wears a uniform and serves, you know, providing, breaking down barriers of state licensure for our active duty military, reserve, and guard. And I did the same thing under President Trump with about 19% of the population, which is the Vets Act. Our veterans now have greater access to telemedicine as a result of my legislation. And my current thing is the rest of us deserve to have that as well. And, you know, breaking down a practice across state lines. And so there are some great innovations out there. We continue to, and I think one of the key roles for government investments really is in terms of investigating putting money towards cures. And I would put at the top of the list what we call orphan diseases and illnesses, because let's face it, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're there to make money. I get it. I'm a capitalist. I understand. But at the same time, what that does is, you know, there's some devastating, and I have constituents right here in this county who they have family members who have these illnesses, these diseases, where there's the numbers nationally are so low, there's no incentive for the pharmaceutical companies to do any type of research to provide some type of relief or cure.
Yeah.
And so I was proud to be a part of the Cures Act. That really helps, again, bringing some investments to the table, you know, partnering with these pharmaceutical companies so that we see that type of research being done. I think that's a key role in terms of healthcare, you know, that we should be doing. You know, if we get to the point, and I think we're getting closer, where we find a way to prevent cancer, we find a way to prevent diabetes, we find a way to prevent Alzheimer's, can you imagine what that does for reducing increasing quality of life and reducing the cost of health care for the nation and for families? And I, you know, I just, It's exciting to see where science, technology, and innovation is bringing us, and not just in healthcare. Quite frankly, that's my theme with agriculture as well, across the board. Every education should be impacted by that. So,
All right, we'll take a break here in just a moment. Now, very quickly, Elk County is in your zone.
It is.
I have many friends up there and do some work up there. I mean, their hospital, they're not even delivering babies there anymore. I mean, what about a situation like that? It seems really dire up there.
Yeah, that's the St. Mary's Hospital. They're a part of the health system now. And forming a health system seems like, you know, God bless Center Community. They're one of the few folks that are hanging in there that haven't had to merge, you know, with someone else. But St. Mary's did. That helped them survive overall. You know, the real issue there is the number of births has reduced dramatically in the past couple of years. And as a physician, you know, to be able to be not just efficient, but to maintain your competency, you need to be able to deliver a certain number of babies. And so that's been an issue. Now, I will say that Penn Highlands Health System.
Yes.
I was impressed what they did, because normally what I would happen in the past is when they take away the deliveries, they take away everything. And quite frankly, where mom has the baby, that's where the family sees health care. And so taking away your obstetrics services normally is, you know, sort of a kiss of death for a hospital. But Penn Highlands didn't do that with St. Mary's. They all the pre-delivery services happen in there at St. Mary's, and the post delivery happens. You don't have to go to Du Bois for that. It stays in St. Mary's. So it's one of the first times I've seen some common sense exercised, but it is hard. And part of it is the decrease in population and the number of babies that are being delivered, and that was a primary factor of making sure you wanted the doctors and the whole team to be very competent in terms of making sure it's a health and safety delivery. Tough decision, I get that part, but the way they did it was better than any way I've ever seen in the past.
All right, our guest is Congressman Glenn Thompson, who is running for re-election this fall. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk something about that. Plenty of questions also for our next segment. State Senator Wayne Langerhol coming up later on this hour on Let's Talk, and we'll return right after this.
Here's the K2 Roots Vitality Foxcast. A nice day today, though on the cool side for this time of the year. With ample amounts of sunshine, the high 70.
Fox Forecast.
Mainly clear and quite cool tonight. Low 40 in outlying areas, 48 in town. Wednesday still on the cool side. Partly to mostly sunny, the high 72. This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7. The Fox.
The Penn State football team picked up an impressive 34-12 win at West Virginia in the season opener on Saturday. Head coach James Franklin says there was a lot to like, but also some areas to focus on for improvement.
I didn't feel like we kicked the ball as well as we're capable of kicking. That is kickoff, that is punts, that is field goals, really all three phases. And then penalties. We just gave too many yards away trying to be aggressive, and we got to eliminate those things.
The Nittany Lions will play Bowling Green in the home opener Saturday at 12 noon. The Falcons are also 1-0 after a 41-17 win over Fordham. Penn State junior safety KJ Winston has been named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, and three-star wide receiver prospect Matthew Outen from Virginia has reportedly flipped his commitment from Virginia Tech to Penn State.
We don't just talk sports, we live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Hey there, Central Pennsylvania. Are you ready to dive into summer fun? Then look no further than Clearwater Swimming Pool Company, your go-to experts for all things pool and spa. With three convenient locations in Center Hall, Sealands Grove, and Shamokin, summer fun is within reach. At Clearwater, we've got everything you need to make a splash. Stock up on Pool Life and Bakwasil chemicals, essential pool maintenance equipment, and the hottest pool toys and accessories around. Plus, indulge in pure relaxation with Hot Spring brand hot tubs right in your own backyard. yard. Thinking about a new pool? We're currently scheduling installations for in-ground salt pools, and there's still time to enjoy the summer with a brand new above-ground pool. Come visit Clearwater Swimming Pool Company today and let our friendly and knowledgeable staff help you create the perfect summer oasis. Dive in and discover why Clearwater is Central Pennsylvania's choice for all things pool and spa. If it's time to swim, it's time for Clearwater Pools and Spas. Visit us online at groupclearwater.com or stop by one of our three locations today.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
For quality you can see and wear, remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
Ironhead. The Penn State men's soccer team shut out St. Bonaventure last night at Jeffrey Field 4-0. Ben Liskin scored the game winner just 12 minutes into the contest. The Nittany Lions are now 2-2 on the season. The State College Spikes lost 14-3 at Williamsport yesterday and are officially knocked out of title contention for the second half of the MLB Draft League. Former Penn State catcher Josh Spiegel recorded an RBI for the Spikes for the fifth time in six games. The Spikes will play their final home game of the season tonight against the Crosscutters with first pitch at 6:35. The Pirates beat the Cubs 5-3 yesterday at PNC Park. Ryan Reynolds and Andrew McCutchen each homered in a 4-run 8 for Pittsburgh. That series resumes tonight at 7:40. And the Phillies have Labor Day off and will open a brief two-game series in Toronto tonight at 7:07.
We don't just talk sports.
The Fox.
We live it. Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Talking Penn State, Pittsburgh, and even sneaking in a little Philly sports because I can. It's Late Lunch on 98.7 The Fox with me, your host, Chris Buccinati. Live, local, and lots of fun. Join in every Monday to Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on Central Pennsylvania's Sports Authority.
Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Fox. State College. Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys. 98.7 The Fox.
It is a Tuesday morning coming off the Labor Day holiday weekend. Jeff and Scott with you. It's Let's Talk. And, yep, we've got a couple of Republicans on the scorecard here this morning.
All right. Now, again, we haven't done one of these for a while. We've been giving candidates and people running roughly the same amount of time, two segments. So this is segment two with Congressman Glenn Thompson. Again, Wayne Langerholt, state senator, will be joining us later on in this hour. All right, Senator, Congressman, you're running for re-election. I actually don't have this in front of me. How many terms have you served so far?
Well, I'm serving currently my eighth term, and so I'm running for my ninth term.
Okay.
My side of the aisle, we actually have term limits in our leadership positions. That's really to keep a fresh bench. I think it's worked well for the Republican Party, quite frankly. And so I have, you get a total of three terms, 6 years. Doesn't matter whether you're in the minority as a ranking member or majority as chair. Much better to be the chair, no doubt about it. And I've appreciated being in that position. The term I'm running for would be my last year in a leadership position with the Agriculture Committee. Although I'd be eligible, actually, I'm a senior member on the Education Workforce Committee. And so that, in the future, if I would continue to serve, that would be a real possibility to be the... maybe the I'm not sure, maybe the first definitely the first Penn Stater to chair the House Agriculture Committee. I'm not sure about it. I think it would be for the Education Workforce Committee as well. Not sure about that one.
What about across the board term limits? Like, you should be